heard from UNICEF about the affliction in the Horn of Africa as a result of severe drought, the worst since the 1980 crisis, which was catastrophic, particularly for the people of Ethiopia. Nevertheless, despite such doom and despair, David Morley mentioned last evening that we have made several progressive steps towards progress in the intervening period around food and nutrition insecurity. However, we're not doing enough. Much more remains to be done. This is therefore the reason why the senior administration of McGill University has made global food security one of its top academic priorities. And I'm pleased to say that 2 weeks ago, the World Economic Forum invited our faculty to lead a session on global food security at the summer summit in Dalian, China. And the president of our university, Dr. Heather Monroe Bloom, myself, and three of my colleagues in the Faculty of Agricultural and Environmental Sciences made presentations to the summer summit in Dalian, which was very well received. It is also why we have created the McGill Institute of Global Food Security, and we look forward to announcing the appointment of the first full-time director of the Institute later this year. Before I introduce the Honourable Minister, please allow me, on behalf of McGill University, to congratulate Honourable Minister Bavoda and our colleagues in CEDA and IDRC for their initiative to launch the Canadian International Food Security Research Fund. And I speak also on behalf of my fellow deans of agriculture, of the Canadian Faculties of Agriculture and Veterinary Medicine. I'm pleased that one of my fellow deans, Murray Isman, from the University of British Columbia, is here, and also the Executive Director of the Canadian Faculties of Agriculture and Veterinary Medicine, Dr. Douglas Headley. And as you all know, those of you who participated in our conferences before, Dr. Headley has always been a very strong contributor to our conferences. It shows that the Government of Canada has demonstrated its commitment and leadership in creating this research fund, which supports Canadian universities and their developing country partners to undertake research and build capacity in food and nutrition security worldwide. I'm equally pleased that our colleagues from IDRC, and three of them are here with us, and you'll get a chance to hear from them later on, have not only been very strong supporters of our annual food security conferences, but have also worked tirelessly with us in the Faculty of Agriculture here at McGill to put three of our successful projects into action on the ground in India, Kenya, and the Commonwealth of Caribbean. On behalf of McGill University, I express my deepest gratitude to Ms. Devoda and to her colleagues in CEDA and IDRC. Ladies and gentlemen, it therefore gives me great pleasure to introduce the Honourable Minister Bev Bode, who is no stranger to our conferences, as she was one of our keynote speakers last year. Madame Ota, était la ministre des Corporations Internationales et aussi la ministre responsable pour ACNI, l'Agence Canadienne de Développement International. Elle est responsable pour le programme de Canada pour l'assistance et l'aide internationale. Madame Ota était la députée pour la région de Durham, Ontario. Et maintenant, je vous présente la ministre de Coopération internationale, Madame Bertot.
Bonjour. Good morning, and thank you for the kind introduction. I know that since I was here last year, that the Institute has been very busy, you yourself have done a great deal to grow the Institute, to ensure that Canada is receiving the recognition it deserves, and also international recognition that you've told us about stands good for all Canadians. I want to congratulate McGill for addressing and focusing this year's conference on the risks and threats of food security, and as you said, we have unfortunately a very good example that has resulted in showing us that we've got to pay more attention to this area. Because in 2008, when the world experienced a food security crisis then, and it was caused by the price of food increasing to such an extent, it increased hunger and poverty around the world and threatened the global progress we had been making in development areas. And although food prices have decreased somewhat in 2009 and early 2010, more recently food prices have increased once again. The World Bank reported that the food price index has increased 33% in just 1 year since July 2010. And once again, this increase is having an impact. Household incomes are not increasing at the same pace as the cost of food. As we were told, nearly 1 billion people in the world are hungry. And in February, the World Bank reported that an additional 44 million people were pushed into poverty by soaring food prices. Another major risk in food security is the fact that the global food stocks continue to be alarmingly low. The quantity of food being produced is not increasing as fast as the pace to keep up with the growing population. As we see growing urban, and we also see growing urban population, particularly amongst the poor. We're also losing hectares of land to farm production due to increased natural disasters. Some of the most arable land in Pakistan in Sindh province have been lost to floods last year and again this year. And when I was there last year and saw the impact of the floods, these are areas that never before had ever seen floods. So consequently, we're facing new challenges. Decreasing rainfall and drought has brought about the greatest humanitarian crisis in the Horn of Africa. Government actions have reduced some countries' food self-sufficiency and are now net food importers, bringing challenges particularly when limited government fiscal resources cannot increase their food import levels due to the high costs. On the other hand, we have other governments that have chosen to shore up food stocks domestically and reduce the availability of certain commodities to others in the open market. And the current uncertainties in the global economy are creating circumstances that, in many cases, are contributing to food security risks, and in other cases, threatening the international community's ability to respond effectively. Threats and risks to food security, such as these and others, I believe, demand a global response. A response that addresses both the short-term immediate needs of those who are hungry today and the long-term development needs that will result in a sustainable supply of food, stronger resiliency against these threats and risks, and lead us to a healthy, well-nourished global population. As the world's financial leaders grapple with the stability of the global economy, there is much that we can do in the development arena, can do to reduce the risks and diminish the threats to food security, particularly for the most vulnerable. The cost of food will always fluctuate due to many variable factors that go into the cost before it reaches the tables of families. The input costs of production for the farmer, the cost of transportation, marketing and distribution, processing and packaging. So families need a level of income where the cost to feed themselves is not taking such a large part of their household incomes, and so they can withstand fluctuations in the cost of food. And governments also need to have a strong economy to generate the resources they need to help their people meet their basic daily food intake needs to remain healthy. That is why our government has chosen, as one of its focus sectors, sustainable economic growth. This means supporting efforts to increase opportunities for new businesses and growth of businesses, helping governments entrench good fiscal governance practices and mechanisms, support accountable economic growth initiatives, and helping individuals, particularly the youth, acquire the skills and training needed to find gainful employment. Canada supports the need for monitoring food stocks on a global and regional level to help identify where dangerous food insecurity levels may be developing and to better help mitigate and respond to such situations. Canada has also made a significant commitment to helping farmers and the agricultural sector. In fact, in 2009, when G8 member countries, along with other major donors and development partners, came together and committed $20 billion to the L'Aquila Food Security Initiative for Sustainable Agricultural Development, Prime Minister Harper announced that Canada would invest $1.18 billion over 3 years to this initiative, a large majority going to Africa. We know that increasing global investments in agricultural development is key to long-term food security. That is why, in 2009, when I announced CETA's food security strategy, sustainable agricultural development was one of its three key paths. Since then, CETA has been working with other donors, developing countries, and international organizations to turn the commitments made at L'Aquila into results. First, as you know, simply making a pledge at a conference is not enough. Little information about the global commitments made at L'Aquila was known. Were these commitments and pledges really new commitments? What was the place, the pace of the flow of the funds that the world could expect? Other factors were unknown. But it's always important to remember that accountability for commitments is key. First, we must all pay what we pledge. That may, for many of the students here, sound very fundamental. But since becoming the minister, I've discovered, much to my horror, that countries will go to conferences and pledge money. Sometimes they include money they've pledged before. And also, after many years, when you track it, you're actually not delivering the dollars that they pledged. So that was key, and that was an important first step. Accountability is an important priority for the government of Canada, and that's why, as president of the G8 and G20 in 2010, Canada assumed responsibility for leading on accountability for this global development commitment. When I hosted the meeting of the G8 development ministers last year in Halifax, we endorsed the G8 accountability report that provided detailed information about donors' L'Aquila pledges. Now, the L'Aquila Food Security Initiative process is in place to keep all the L'Aquila donors accountable for their food security commitment. Today, I'm proud to report that as of April 2011, Canada has fully disbursed its $1.18 billion commitment to the L'Aquila Food Security Initiative, and we are the first G8 country to do so. But disbursing what you pledged is only one part of accountability. We must be accountable for results. To achieve meaningful results, we chose three paths to follow in our food security strategy and in fulfilling our L'Aquila commitment. First, food assistance and nutrition. And I'd like to come back to food assistance a little later. But first, I want to tell you how important we believe nutrition is in food security. Food security is not only about getting food onto the table, it's about getting the right food onto the table. That's why nutrition is a key part of Canada's food security strategy. Do you know, just 2 weeks ago, I was in New York at the UN Summit, as well as World Bank in Washington, and we were all talking about the crisis in East Africa. And we all said to ourselves, if we had addressed the nutritional needs of those people who are facing the drought, we might have been able to diminish the impact on someone. And nutrition is so key and important. It's only an integral part of our Muskoka initiative on maternal, newborn, and child health focuses on improving infant and child feeding practices, promoting exclusive breastfeeding, and providing supplements and key vitamins and minerals, such as iodized salt and vitamin A, to women, pregnant, and lactating mothers and infants. Canada supports the Sun Movement, Scaling Up Nutrition, led by the UN Secretary General. In an innovative public-private partnership between Canada, the Micronutrient Initiative, and Tech Resources, a mining company, we developed the Zinc Alliance for Child Health, designed to scale up the delivery of zinc programs. The Alliance's first project will substantially reduce child mortality in Senegal. And Canada is the lead supporter in the distribution of vitamin A that has saved the lives of 3 million children under the age of 5. The second path of our food security strategy is agriculture, focusing on smallholder farmers, particularly women. It's important to remember that 500 million small-scale farmers feed more than 2 billion people, or one-third of all humanity. In Asia and Sub-Saharan Africa, small farmers produce 80% of the food consumed. And rural people, particularly women, cultivate 80% of the world's farmland. In fact, women account for 70 to 80% of household food production in Africa, 65% in Asia, and 45% in Latin America. They are women, are quite literally the engine of the rural economy and the guardians of food nutrition, particularly amongst the poorest. That's also why Canada has made the International Fund for Agriculture Development, or IFAD, one of its key food security partners. IFAD is helping reach more than 370 million smallholder farmers, mostly women, to improve their business practices, adapt to climate change, rehabilitate their farmlands, access to financing, and develop their markets. Last year, in 2010 into 2011, CETA was supporting food security and agricultural programs and projects in 123 countries and regions. And since 2006-07, our government has increased CETA's bilateral program disbursements supporting food security and agriculture by 10%, and it now accounts for over 25% of our bilateral funding. The third path of our food security strategy is research and development. Recognizing that we need to build a more resilient agricultural system and ensure that innovation keeps ahead of future food security challenges, we need new tools, new crops, new methods to increase agricultural productivity and the nutritional value of the food that is grown. In 2009, CETA and the International Development Research Center, IDRC, launched the 5-year, $62 million Canadian International Food Security Research Fund, or as I call it, the CIFS Fund. The fund supports partnerships between Canadian and developing country research organizations to find practical measures to help farmers in the developing world. And I must tell you that whatever country I go to, when we talk about food security, we talk about agriculture, they are always asking to partner with Canadian institutions and also asking for access to IDRC. We are world-renowned. They can actually name the university they want to associate with. So we have to do a little bit of a more focused job in bringing new partners together. They know who we are. They know the quality of the work that we do. And it really makes me proud to be able to be there and to try to enable those partnerships. The fund actually has drawn farmers into the loop to ensure that the research meets their needs, because experience has shown that when agricultural research is driven by the demands of the farmers, it can provide long-term solutions for food security. Two competitive calls for proposals have already led to research projects in 17 countries in Africa, South Asia, Latin America, and the Caribbean. And I want to thank IDRC and also the CETA people who are working on setting up this fund. I think it was one of the fastest research funds that was set up. The calls went out so quickly and the responses have come back so quickly. And to have done two competitive calls in that short period of time, I think that sets a record. But let me give you examples of our CIF-supported projects. It is said, McGill University has been involved. In fact, McGill is part of 4 of the 13 approved projects. In India, McGill researchers are working with local women farmers to test hardy and highly nutritious traditional grains such as millet, amaranth, and legumes. With new labor-reducing technologies, they will be able to produce nutritious products with greater market prospects. In Kenya, McGill is uncovering the causes of low agricultural productivity and developing farm practices that are much more appropriate to dry areas. Canada also supports other research activities to support its commitment to food security. One of CETA's long-term funded research projects is the Pan-Africa Bean Research Alliance, now in its 4th phase. The alliance is made up of 3 regional networks in 24 African countries and includes international, regional, national, and community-level stakeholders. The research has given more than 4 million households, 58% of them women farmers, access to seeds, many of which are micronutrient-enriched varieties. CETA has also provided significant support to we call it CIGAR, C-G-A-R, the Consultative Group on International Agricultural Research. In fact, Canada is currently supporting 15 research projects directly in the fields of agriculture, nutrition, and food security. While investing in agricultural research and innovation is essential, we must also find ways to ensure that the results of this research are reaching those who need it most. To do this, Canada played a key role at the recent conference in Montpellier, France, where the G20 countries recognized the importance of capacity building, partnerships, and the coordination of agricultural research. They also emphasized the need to share knowledge between countries, between academic institutions, and research partners, and farmers. Last year, when I attended this conference, I helped launch the McGill University Institute for Global Food Security, and look what it's developed into. To provide training and capacity building on food security in developing countries. And I also encourage McGill, and as you have been, to continue to disseminate the success and results achieved by your institution. Well, Canada's actions aim to address food security over the medium and long term, we cannot ignore the needs of those suffering every day from hunger and malnutrition. Over the past 3 years, Canada has been the 3rd largest single country donor to the World Food Program, not only supporting their emergency food aid efforts, but getting behind their innovative new approaches. In every major crisis, Canada has, through various channels, helped provide food and needed vitamins and supplements to the victims in need. Since June of this year, more than 30 countries have faced a food crisis so severe that they have had to request emergency food aid. 23 of those countries are in Africa. In East Africa, we know we have a humanitarian crisis that will extend well into the next year. A crisis that has clearly shown that we cannot neglect food security in all of its parts. We cannot neglect nutrition. And shown that we cannot neglect the need to constantly strengthen the agricultural sector. During my visit to the Dadaab camp in Kenya, from what I saw and from the stories I heard, from mothers and young girls, I knew that their perseverance and courage must be matched by our willingness to help. To date, Canada has provided $72 million in aid to help. In addition to this direct support by the government, I established the East Africa Drought Relief Fund to match the donations of individual Canadians. For every dollar a Canadian donated over the 10-week period that ended on September 16th to a registered Canadian charity that was responding to the drought in East Africa, the government is contributing an equivalent amount to the East Africa Drought Relief Fund. Once again, it looks like Canadians have demonstrated their compassion and generosity. Awaiting final verification, the Government of Canada will match their donations, and so far, looks like, we will be contributing over $70 million more to the East Africa Drought Relief Fund. This brings Canada's direct contribution to the relief efforts to $142 million, which will place Canada amongst the top five donors to relief efforts. Hopefully we'll have a final verified number within a matter of days. Specific details on how these resources will be allocated to further help meet the needs of the victims of the crisis will be announced in the coming couple of weeks. But we will continue to monitor the situation in order to give the most appropriate response to the needs there as they develop. As we can see, in this increasingly complex global world, the risks and threats to global food security, if allowed to grow and are not addressed, can have unimaginable consequences. Your work and this conference are key in helping us all address and meet the challenges presented by those risks and threats. Together, we must all work to strengthen our resiliency, better be prepared to adapt to changes and mitigate the consequences of food insecurity so that the East Africa crisis never happens again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.